For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. Now, if William Shakespeare were writing Hamlet today, he might alter that work's most famous line as follows: "To bringeth employees back to the office, or let them worketh remote. That is the question." Employers across the land are trying to wrestle with this question as the country reopens from our long pandemic shutdown. Best-selling author, member of the Yale News Board of Directors, along with a host of other titles, Joanne Lippman has written in this month's Time magazine about how workplaces might need to change post-shutdown. She joins us now in the program. Joanne, CEOs like J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon say they want employees back in the office, yet most surveys seem to suggest that more than 50% of employees like doing at least part of their jobs from home. Who wins this fight?
Yeah, that's a great question. So at this point, it looks like the CEOs are going to have to listen to their employees. There was a survey, in fact, that just came out that suggested that almost half of particularly younger employees would quit a job or not take a job if they were required to be on site full time. There does seem to be a feeling that perhaps the best compromise would be sort of a hybrid workplace where you're on site perhaps 3 days a week and working remotely 2 days a week. But you got to get the CEOs on board with the employees so they're all on the same page.
You know, I heard you say on CNBC last week that the workplace is broken. Why do you think that?
The real debate that is going on about remote work is with office workers and with professionals. But there is a sense that that they are feeling very strongly that they are not satisfied, that they feel like the workplace that we have all grown up with that really requires sort of FaceTime, that has normal business hours, that workplace, it's broken. And if you think about it, that workplace actually developed after World War II. It was built on a military model for the men coming home from the front. And it was built on a strictly hierarchical FaceTime model with standard business hours and generally with the assumption that there's a wife at home to worry about everything else in your life. And that model is still with us, even though the rest of the world has completely been transformed. So there is a sense we've got to find a new way forward.
Yeah, and with the cost of college and things like that these days, the wife a lot of times has to go out and work just to put junior or their set of juniors through school and to afford comforts of life.
Yes. Yes, but there's also a really important factor that's come up with the pandemic. So women were actually, more than a year ago, at the beginning of, right before the COVID struck, women were the majority of the workforce. They actually made up the majority of the workforce. And women are more educated than men. They graduate college in much greater numbers. And they were making great, great strides in the workplace, finally, belatedly making great strides. And that has been wiped out during the pandemic because so many women have had to leave the workforce because of the impossible demands of having to deal with childcare, homeschooling, trying to juggle that with work. And we have lost millions of women from the workforce. We've set back women's participation figures in the workforce more than three decades. So we've got a long ways to go. There's a lot that needs to happen in the workplace. In addition to this remote work conversation, we've got to look at family leave and childcare and, you know, a variety of other ways to support women and to support working parents.
I'm going to come back to that exact question in just a moment, but you just mentioned that, you know, there are some ways in which the workplace needs to change. I know the title of your Time magazine article is "The Pandemic Revealed How Much We Hate Our Jobs. Now We Have a Chance to Reinvent Work." You kind of touched on it. Maybe go into a little more detail, please, about how exactly work needs to be reinvented.
Absolutely. So first of all, people do hate their jobs. One of the most astonishing pieces of research I came across was, honestly, there was a survey Pew did a few months ago of unemployed people who'd lost their jobs during COVID. And the majority of them said they actually want to go back and switch occupations. There's a deep, deep unhappiness with the way that work is structured right now. But this is an opportunity for all of us to reset, and I think that could be very, very exciting. So, you know, among other things, there are in other countries, and in fact, the entire country of Spain, I believe it is, are experimenting with 4-day work weeks. And in many cases, those experiments have proven to be extremely, extremely successful, with productivity actually rising with fewer work days. So the 4-day work week is one. Another option I think that we'll see more of is asynchronous work hours. In other words, that you and I work different work hours to get our work done, which would be very, very helpful, again, particularly for working parents who might need to be home with the kids helping with their homework in the, in the afternoon, let's say, but they can do their work in other hours. So we don't all have to work at the same time, which makes sense, particularly we're in a global economy anyway, where people are working with people who are in different time zones. And again, we definitely need to do more to support those working parents. And also we need to do more to support all employees in terms of things like mental health, making sure they're taking their vacation days. During COVID, there were a number of companies that actually upped their benefits for mental health. There are some that have given off what they call recharge days, where they shut down the entire company for a day or even for a week to give people enforced time off where they're not going to be getting emails. It's not like your own vacation where you're still getting emails from clients and colleagues. This is like everybody's off at the same time, all for mental health. And I think that there's a growing awareness that that is absolutely essential. And also, by the way, it helps your bottom line. Your employees are more productive. You have less turnover. People are more likely to stay in their jobs.
How much do you think that all of corporate America's past investment in commercial real estate plays a role in corporate bosses really wanting to get people back into the office? Hey, we got all this office space. We got to do something with it.
Yes. So here's the thought about all that office space. So according to CoStar, which actually tracks these things, the amount of sublet space is up something like 40% since pre-COVID, because so many more people are working remotely and companies are thinking, oh, we got all this space to let. I had a thought, which I would love to see companies embrace, which is, hey, you got all that extra space. You want your employees back on site at least part of the time. Take some of that extra space, make it into affordable daycare. Right? It would be a win-win for everyone. People could have their kids nearby. They could have affordable daycare, which is a huge problem for a lot of people. And the companies would be making really, really positive use of the space.
That's a very good idea. What do you think? What do you think of the chances are of that getting through one day?
I'm not going to put any odds on that. I put the idea out there, and we hope that some executives are listening and we'll take it to heart.
Well, speaking of executives, I want to go back to J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon for a minute. I'm not picking on him, but he's very famous, and when he says something, it carries weight. His exact statement a while ago was, remote work doesn't work for those who want to hustle. It doesn't work in terms of spontaneous idea generation. He also said, people don't like commuting, but so what? Okay, so that leads me to the thought, will people who choose to work partly at home become second-class citizens? What are the chances of that?
Yeah, that's a real risk. We can look at this in two different ways, right? One is there's a potential that the people who come and show up at work are going to be favored and get the promotions and get the higher pay than the remote workers. You get two classes of workers, and that would, again, disproportionately penalize those who need to stay at home. Again, parents, people with elderly relatives they're caring for, people with long commutes. It's going to penalize those people. Again, you're penalizing women all over again. That's one way of looking at it. There's another way of looking at it, though, which is there's another scenario in which you can envision young people who are right out of college, their first jobs, they're not making a lot of money, they're in a tiny little apartment with four roommates, they want to go into the office, they're the ones who show up, but the managers who are paid more, maybe they live in the suburbs, the managers, they have families, they want to work remotely. So suddenly you have a two-class system now where the young people are on site, but their managers, the people who they need for mentoring and training and promotion, all of that, they're gone. So it's going to be very tricky. I was talking to a friend who's in this area of sort of back to work, looking at it. And his point, which is a good one, is middle managers in particular, it's going to be very tricky. Managing a fully remote workforce is actually much easier than managing a hybrid workforce. In a hybrid situation, you're going to have to really ensure that everyone is treated equitably and given the same pay, but also the same opportunities and the same training.
Well, no, you started that answer with some talk about women's issues in the workplace. You've written quite a bit about that. Is there a part of you that feels that some good will come out of the fact that many men are among those remote workers Jamie Dimon and others hold? I was going to say in such little regard. I mean, that may be strong to say, but for lack of a better word, that's what I'll say. After all, I mean, women have been hearing this type of talk for years when it comes to leaving the workplace to rear children and all their other responsibilities outside. Am I correct?
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought up this point, because there is a scenario, if we handle this right, we can end up with a far better, more equitable, more humane workplace for all of us, for women, for men, you name it, for everybody. Because if we can come up with an equitable way in which we can have more time at home, more time, less time commuting, kind of less stress in that way, and yet have some time in the office in order to bond and to make, you know, to have mentors, to make friends with your colleagues. You know, if we can find the right balance, we can work toward a more humane workforce. I mean, if you look at, you know, what's been happening to hours, we've been working more and more and more hours, and technology, for all of its pluses, has also made us, you know, all of us sort of 24/7 employees. If we can peel that back, if we can bring back some of our own personal time, personal space, we have an opportunity to really improve and make the, you know, finally come up with some really, really meaningful, substantive improvements to the workplace for all of us.
There's an article in the Hartford Business Journal right now saying that remote call center workers over at Cigna have gotten over 2,200 signatures on a petition to implore management to stop rigidly policing their work from home time and to compensate them more for personal resources used to do their jobs. Now, is this indicative of the corporate America that you see, in as much as are they woefully behind in coming up with effective workplace rules for this new work environment?
100%. They are way, way, way behind. This is why I said this is going to be so tricky to manage a hybrid workforce where there are people working at home. The ideal scenario will be is where you have the flexibility. Your daughter has a question about homework and you can answer that question because you have some remote time. But you're not working more hours. That's the ideal. Right now, the surveys have all shown that we are working more hours, but there's also been research out there that shows we are working more hours, but we are not producing more. So it's really important for us, for all of us, and for all of our bosses, to be able to set up a workplace where people don't feel like they're being spied on, where people are treated as adults, where they have some flexibility. But that, you know, we have a sort of a more humane approach to our work. There are a lot of positives to this remote work. And I think that's the key to all of this, is we need to preserve the positives of remote work. I mean, this has been a miserable year. We have had death and destruction and economic misery, the likes of which we have in our lifetimes never seen before. So when we look at this now, the remote workforce, now if we take a look and say, okay, but there are some positive elements of that piece of it, let's make sure that we preserve the positive elements of it. And I think that is the key to going forward with the workforce and how we can actually make it better.
Joanne Lipman, you've got a lot of ideas, and I really appreciate you coming here and sharing them with us. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me.